My name is Ben G. Frank. The book is entitled The Scattered Tribe, Traveling the Diaspora from Cuba to India to Tahiti and Beyond. Globe Pequot Press is the publisher. Their website is www.globepequot.com. That's www.globepequot.com. And if I may say, it's available wherever books are sold.
Now, you're following a long tradition, aren't you, Ben, writing about Jewish travel?
Right. Actually, Jews have been traveling for many centuries. I think one of the most famous is Benjamin of Tudela. In the 12th century, he traveled the then-known Jewish world into Arabia, into Asia, etc. And I like to say that I'm following in his footsteps. Our first names are the same, and he traveled and recorded Jewish history, what was going on in the communities, and that's what I did.
Now, this book is a long time in the making. You've been traveling for a long time. What made you decide to actually write the book?
I felt I had done some Jewish travel guides before, but always the longing for travel, you know, even for adventure. I mean, travel writers really love adventure, and I patterned myself as a Jewish travel writer, and I wanted to visit out-of-the-way places, exotic places. People go to Paris, London, Rome, and that's fine, but I wanted to, you know, cross the ocean, so to speak, and go to Tahiti, to India, to Burma, to Vietnam, to Morocco, and those were some of the communities I went to because there are exotic Jewish communities there.
So your idea of having a great trip is just not lying on the beach. It's doing more,
You have to, you can lie on the beach, but you really have to meet the people, travel, visit the sites, engage people. That's the way we learn. Travel teaches you that how little you know. And travel, I think, is one of the best ways to expand your mind and meet challenges of today.
In some ways, Ben, you are following the family tree, and I really enjoyed the first chapter in the book, which was about St. Petersburg.
Right. And also, actually, my parents came from Russia, and I felt that, you know, a lot of people these days want to trace their roots. It's been going on, I would say, the last 50 years, and I wanted to, find where my parents lived and the history of my family, and I went to Odessa. That's one of the sections in the book that's in the chapter on Russia, and I went there. It's a beautiful city. It's come down in the world a little bit because of the trouble the Russians are having or had in the past 10, 20 years, but it's still a nice, exciting city.
And you followed the advice of a doctor you know who said, go to Russia in the winter. Why did you do that?
Because he said, you don't want to go in the summer when it's hot. You want to go in the winter to feel the cold and the ice, you know, of Russia. And I did that. In fact, in that first trip there, the guide that I had got us up at around 8, 9 o'clock at night and took us out to a walk in the snow, and we crossed the frozen river and on ice, you know, and then I said, now I know what the Russians are like.
Yes.
Now I know what they go through.
And you didn't stop there. You went on the Trans-Siberian Railway.
Right.
That must have really been something. You were, I guess, tracing the trail of your Aunt Clara, was it?
Right. Aunt Clara, actually, she left Russia in 1917 after the revolution, and she couldn't go west because the war was still going on, World War One. So she went east, and she traveled, and she was 17 years old at the time, and traveled across Siberia to Japan, across to Vladivostok to Japan, and across to Canada, you know, the U.S. and Canada. So you can imagine a young lady, 17 years old, being in Japan in those days.
Well, not only that, when she was on the train, I guess it was Russian troops came on board the train, and she was afraid that they would take her off the train and put her in a camp or something. But she had to hide under a stout woman's skirts.
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, it's unbelievable what people, you know, people who are really fleeing or want to save their lives, you know, what they do. And that was a great move, actually. And that's a story that's come down to the family for all these years.
Talk about strange tales, though. Some of the stories that you uncovered was in Istanbul. No Jews are allowed to ride on horseback?
That was actually, I think, in Morocco also. In those days, and Istanbul, and part of the theory then was, you know, they were segregated into, you know, the Mela, and so they were kind of rules that were inflicted on them in those years under the caliph and under the rulers of Morocco at that time. Of course, today that doesn't exist.
Now, you have had your share of surprises, and I'm wondering about how your worldview has changed since you've been doing all this traveling.
Well, I mean, I think that we've gotten closer to people, that the world is much smaller. We have the internet, we have phones. It's not a big deal anymore, Pat. I mean, you know, we talk to people. It's, on the one hand, we can talk to people, reason with people, understand people better through travel. On the other hand, the world is more dangerous. There's no question about it. Yet, you can't just hide away, you know, and sit in your little room, et cetera, or in your own place. You have to get out to the world. Otherwise, you know, life is meaningless.
How large is the Jewish population in Cuba? You got to go there recently.
I was in Cuba. There's about 1,100, 1,200 Jews in Cuba. Things are much better now. You know, in 1991, Castro lost his big supporter, the former Soviet Union, and now there's a thriving community there. People go to the synagogue. They're not afraid to go to the synagogue, as it was under Castro and communism before 1991. And Americans now, it's opened a little bit. If you wanted to go with a group, an educational group, you can travel to Cuba much better in recent years than before.
And I could talk a lot longer with you on this book, but what about Tahiti? How did you find the Jewish settlers there?
Well, I did a little research, and I found that there was a synagogue in Tahiti, which, you know, I wrote about in the Scattered Tribe. And interestingly, the people there are French Jews, most of them who came from Algeria, went to France, and then settled in Tahiti. I had the address, but I think if you ask most people, if you're traveling to Tahiti or that area, which is absolutely beautiful, I mean, they call that paradise. But it's really something. It's Tahiti, Bora Bora. It's life, you know, in the summer, under really beautiful skies and great weather.
If somebody wants to do what you've done and find members of the Scattered Tribe and or any nationality or culture, what would you advise them to do?
Do some research, because it's very difficult once you land there. You know, start looking for people. Do some research. Don't sit in the hotel when you get there and start planning your day. Do it ahead of time. Plan your days. You can read, if I may say, books like mine, The Scattered Tribe, travel guides. By the way, in the book also, Pat, there's a lot of very interesting non-Jewish related facts. This isn't just for, you know, Jewish people. I think everyone would enjoy it. And just do research and study and read, and then you'll realize that all your preparation will come in good stead.
Well, your book is certainly engaging. Anything you would like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to just say that, you know, travel books make for great reading. It's adventure. You can be an armchair traveler, learn a little bit about the world, but of course you should travel. It's a smaller world now, and I think we have to engage people.